What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Maulers and Brawlers. I'm your host, Jake Bass. It's been a long time. It's great to be back. Very excited. To start off, I want to address why I haven't made an episode of this podcast in almost 6 months. Honestly, I got really busy with school, and I play three sports, so there was some things that were really important in my life that had to come first. And when I created this podcast in the first place, I had said that I didn't want to do it halfway and I wanted to put a lot of effort into it because I know how good that I can make it and I just wanted to see it reach its full potential. And over the past 6 months, I just haven't really seen an opportunity for me to work on it and make it reach its full potential. But I think I'm at a point now where I can balance all my school and work and sports and make this podcast be what I know it can be. Also, the audio might not be the greatest quality in this podcast, but that won't be an issue in the podcast to come in the future. Maybe the next one, but definitely not to this extent. There's three things really that are going on. One, my headset just broke. And I'm using my old one, so it's not as good, but I'm going to be getting a new one soon. Two, I'm sort of sick and congested, so my voice is not as loud or sounding as good as it usually does. And three, it's raining pretty hard outside right now, so you guys might be hearing that in the background too. But nonetheless, we have a lot of things to talk about. It's great to be back. And I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in. UFC 235 was crazy. A lot of things happened. Some I wasn't expecting. Some I was expecting. To start it off, first fight on the prelims, Diego Sanchez TKOs Mickey Gall. I knew that fight could go three ways. I knew Mickey was either going to get a submission, Mickey was going to win a decision, or Diego was going to get a TKO. What I didn't know was that Diego was going to get a TKO in such a dominant performance. I mean, I know he was fighting Mickey Gall, and I know Mickey's cardio looked terrible, but Diego looked pretty good. You know, Diego's been fighting in the UFC since 2005. He's definitely, I don't care what he says about, you know, I'm just a crazy, I think outside the box. He's definitely got some issues inside his brain. But if a guy like that's fighting and he's winning in dominant performances, I guess you can't really tell him to stop. Next up, probably the hottest prospect in all of MMA. He's had three fights in the UFC and they've all been performance of the night. He's gotten hurt more celebrating his victories than he has in his actual fights. Johnny Walker looked phenomenal again in his third UFC performance. He got a KO, flying knee KO in the first round, 30 seconds in. This guy's phenomenal. The sky's the limit for him. My only worry with Johnny Walker is that the UFC, Dana White, Sean Shelby, I think they might try to push him into a title shot in a very shallow light heavyweight division when he's not ready for it. I hope he gets a few more fights to prepare for that title shot, because I think in the future he's really the only one on the horizon to challenge John Jones for that belt. And he said it himself, he's not ready for that yet. So I really hope they handle him right, because he can definitely be light heavyweight champion one day. And I mean, the sky's the limit. He might end up being one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time. I mean, he's been looking really good. He's had three performance of the night bonuses in only three fights. Next up, Pedro Munhoz versus Cody Garbrandt. Crazy fight. Probably the craziest last 45 seconds of a fight I've seen in a long time. Cody just stood there. I don't know why he stood there and decided to trade with Pedro at that point. But I guess that's what Cody does now. And Pedro took advantage of this opportunity. And he looked really good doing it. He's lost three times in the UFC. He's lost to John Dodson, Jimmy Rivera, Rafael dos Anjos, so all the killers. And he could definitely challenge for the title in the bantamweight division. With Henry Cejudo coming up to challenge TJ Dillashaw for his belt, Pedro's moving back, or he's back in the line a little bit. I'd say he's behind Marais and Aljamain Sterling. And I'd like to see Marais fight Aljamain Sterling for their rematch. And then Pedro Munhoz get the loser, and the winner of that fight get the next title shot. But he's looked phenomenal. I mean, his most recent wins coming from Cody Garbrandt and Brian Caraway. He's also beaten Brett Johns and Rob Font. I mean, he's fought a lot of tough competition, and he's proven that he could stick with it. Cody Garbrandt, on the other hand, that was a must-win situation for him, and he didn't come through. I mean, I know he's been the UFC champion already once in his young career. He's only 27 years old, but I think he has a lot more to learn as a fighter to become the best version of himself he can be, and I don't know if he's willing to do that. I mean, he's coming off three knockout losses in a row, and it doesn't really look like he has learned anything from them. For his sake, I hope he does, because, I mean, his hands are amazing. I know he has the potential to be a champion again. I just hope for his sake he can realize that dream and, you know, learn what it takes to be a true champion. Now, the fight that everyone's been waiting for since they heard it announced, Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler. Ben Askren won, first round submission, 19-0 now. Controversial, but here's my opinion on this fight. Ben, it looked like Robbie's arm went limp. It did. Everyone said that until he stood up afterward. And Ben still had 2 minutes to finish that choke. Robbie wasn't getting out of it, and he was going to go to sleep 10 seconds later, or 15 seconds later, or 30 seconds later, a minute later, any point, because Askren wasn't letting go of that choke. And then there's some people who say they should have called the fight when Lawler was landing ground and pound punches on Askren, which literally doesn't make any sense, because, yeah, some of them hit Askren. Yeah, he was bleeding, but he was obviously fine because he finished the fight not much longer after. But either way, Ben Askren's 19-0 now. What's next for him? I think he should fight the winner of Till versus Masvidal. I really hope the UFC doesn't try to push a rematch with Robbie Lawler on him, because he just finished him in the first round, and I'd like to see him move on so he can challenge for the UFC belt that I definitely think he can win. Next up, Usman versus Woodley. Usman dominated Woodley. Honestly, I can't say I'm that surprised. I mean, I thought Woodley could win, but I'm not surprised that Usman won in that fashion, because I don't think Woodley's very good. I mean, he's a good fighter. I don't think he's a great fighter. He's definitely not the best welterweight of all time. But, I mean, Usman, people might not like his style. I mean, I don't really like his style. I don't really like him. That was, like, the first fight I've ever cheered for Tyron Woodley. But Usman wins, and he does it in dominant fashion. He's going to fight Colby next. I'm excited for that fight because Colby's a great trash talker, and Usman literally hates him. After watching Usman beat Woodley like that, I don't think Colby can really beat Usman. But that's definitely the fight to make. As for Tyron, I don't really know what fight he should take next. Maybe if Till beats Masvidal, or either way, really. Or yeah, I guess if Till beats Masvidal, because I'd like to see Ben get the winner. So then I'd like to see Woodley fight Masvidal. I think that'd be a good fight. But if I were him, I'd just take some time off right now. I mean, he's been champion for a long time. Just take some time off, spend it with his family, figure out what's going on next. Now to talk about the main event, John Jones. Still don't understand why he's fighting if he continues to fail a drug test. But they're letting him fight, and he's winning every single fight. He's one of the best fighters of all time. I don't think anybody will be able to really challenge for that belt anytime soon until Johnny Walker is ready. If Gustafson couldn't beat Jones, I don't really think anybody can in the near future. And people are going to say, oh, he's fighting nobodies. He's fighting Anthony Smith. But he's already taken out everybody. That's why he's fighting guys like that. I will say, I don't understand why Thiago Santos didn't get the shot over Anthony Smith. Because on Thiago Santos' current win streak, he has a win over Anthony Smith. But, I mean, Jones beats Thiago Santos too, any night of the week. Next up, sad story. One of the saddest, probably the saddest story in all of MMA this year so far. Krokop is forced to retire after suffering a stroke after his last fight. At 44 years old, he's the only person to win K1, Pride, and Rizin Grand Prix championships. He has the most finishes in Zuffa history, and he has a 2-time fight of the year, and he's has to retire on a 10-fight win streak after he just beat Roy Nelson. It's tough. It's really tough to see a fighter of such high caliber, arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time, who has to retire not on his own terms. It's always tough to see one of the greats go out of the sport when they really have no choice. But now with some big news, some good news from MMA this week. Former UFC champion Vitor Belfort signs with ONE Championship. You know, he won the UFC championship. He's been fighting in the UFC since freaking forever, man. I don't even know. I think he's been fighting in the UFC since, like, 1997, I'd like to say, off the top of my head. But, yeah, man, he's been in the UFC for so long. He's won championships in the UFC. He's done it all. He has an ADCC bronze medal in 2001. So he's a very decorated fighter. We all know Vitor Belfort. Most of us love Vitor Belfort. But ONE's making some big moves. They've also recently signed former UFC lightweight champion Eddie Alvarez. They signed Sage Northcutt, one of the hottest names in MMA. And they've also traded for former UFC champion Demetrius Johnson. So I'd still say ONE is in third place behind UFC and Bellator, but they're closing the gap. And they're doing a real good job. And I would also say that the gap between UFC and Bellator is not nearly as big as it used to be. Next, I'm just going to do some picks for some upcoming fights in this month. And these picks are subject to change. They're just early picks. I put some thought into them, but I haven't put the most thought into them. But this first pick, I do not see this changing. Junior Dos Santos will TKO or KO Derek Lewis in round 2. Anything Derek Lewis throws, Junior Dos Santos has already seen. Derek Lewis gets tired. Junior doesn't. His hands are some of the best that Derek Lewis has ever seen. And I do not see Derek Lewis getting out of the second round in this fight. Next up, I'd say Darren Till beats Masvidal by decision. This one was a hard pick for me because I think Masvidal is more well-rounded. I think he's a better all-around pound-for-pound MMA fighter. But Till is massive, and Masvidal spent a lot of his career fighting at lightweight, so he's already smaller, and Till shouldn't even be fighting at welterweight. But he's so much bigger than Masvidal, and I think that will be a factor in this fight. So I'd say he wins by decision. Next up, Stephen Thompson. Again, so much bigger than Anthony Pettis, so I think he's going to get that TKO in round 3. I also think he's a better martial artist than Stephen Thompson, and I think he's going to want to avenge his last loss in his most recent fight to Darren Till. So I think he's going to come out and show his phenomenal striking and get that TKO in round 3. This next one's tough, but I'm going to say Edson Barboza TKOs Justin Gaethje in round 3. I mean, if Justin Gaethje comes out and uses his wrestling, it might be a different story, but I think he's going to stand with Edson Barboza, and I do not think that's a good idea for Justin Gaethje. Edson Barboza kicks harder than anyone, and he throws hard. And I think after a while, he's going to get the TKO win over Justin Gaethje. But this was probably the hardest pick that I had to make out of this whole entire thing. Now, the next fight, probably the easiest pick I ever had to make. Emmanuel Sanchez submits Ashley Grimshaw literally whenever he wants. Grimshaw is nowhere near Emmanuel Sanchez's level in MMA. Emmanuel Sanchez is one of the best fighters in Bellator. I think he could have a good career in the UFC right now if he were fighting in it. And Grimshaw is just not on the level of Emmanuel Sanchez. So I think whenever Emmanuel Sanchez wants to win that fight or finish it, I think he will. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I have some big stuff planned for the future, so stay tuned. This is Maulers and Brawlers, and I'm Jake Bass.